Open your Bibles, if you would, to two places, and we're going to go several more than that, but two places this morning, Galatians chapter 4, Romans chapter number 8. I want to preach today and tonight, Lord's will, on the two things waiting in heaven for us. There are two things waiting for heaven. In heaven for us. One, everybody in heaven will share alike. Two, will depend upon what you've done after you've been saved as to what's waiting on you in heaven. One is called rewards. The Bible says 38 times in the scripture that God is not a respecter of persons. In all 38 places, it refers to three things. Salvation, red, yellow, black, or white. We all get saved the same way. Rewards in heaven. Red, yellow, black, or white. We earn them by our works. Not favoritism of the judge. Not paying off the judge. You will get exactly what you have earned. What if you don't earn anything? Tonight we'll see, it'll be burnt, and you will suffer loss. But rewards is something that you earn. There are degrees of rewards in heaven. There are also degrees of punishment in hell. All punishment in hell is terrible beyond imagination. But Jesus said himself, it will be more tolerable for you in that day of judgment than for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's talking to people of Capernaum. Because they had exposure to things that Sodom and Gomorrah had not had exposure to. I believe this. It will be more tolerable for many, many countries. As a matter of fact, all other countries in the world, except maybe Israel, than it will be for America. Because of the ability that America has had to have the Word of God, to go to a church, to hear preaching, you will be without excuse. To whom much is given, much shall be required. But rewards are dependent, and punishment in hell is dependent upon works. Your works shall follow you. Okay? The second thing is, the thing that we all share equally is inheritance. This morning we want to look at inheritance. Inheritance is dependent upon sonship, not works. The fact that you are a child of God, you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now let's look, and we'll get into that a little bit. And let me say this, we all want to belong. I don't care how much people say. You know what creates so much crime and hatred in these inner cities? They're being raised by one-parent families. Mothers are beating themselves to death trying to raise them. Fathers are nowhere to be found. And they grow up full of hate and anger. And therefore they come and they lash out against people. But you know, deep down, what they want is to belong. To be a part of the family. From the very beginning, when God looked at Adam, he saw it was not good to be alone. And he fixed him someone to help support him, a helpmeet. Jesus, when he came and began his ministry, he found a small group of men, and he began to work with those men, and they were servants. And he said in John chapter 15, after Judas was taken out of the crowd, he said, "You're no longer servants, but you're my friends." But you know, we have a greater privilege than that. We're not only servants, not only his friends, we are the sons and daughters of God. Now think about that. Isn't it amazing to be called the child of God? Look, if you would, in Galatians chapter 4, real quickly. Now I say, in verse number 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Now what it's talking about is this. A Jewish child, until he reached the age of 12, he was considered a child. Even the servants was to teach him certain things that he was to learn to be able to be a man. And then when he reached the age of 12, they would have a celebration, and the father would pray and release him to his manhood, and the child would pray and ask God to let him be a man and have the responsibilities of a man. And so therefore, even though he was a son, he was under the tutorship a lot of times of a servant. But in verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now notice that. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then a what? Heir of God through Christ. Now, I want you to get that a moment. An heir of God through Christ. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now let me say this, in Romans chapter number 8, look if you would in verse 9. If you're listening to me this morning and you wonder if this message is for you, let me say this. You have nothing waiting for you in heaven because you're not going there if you do not have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you. The only way that you can have the Spirit of God in you is be part of God's family. There is only two ways that we become part of God's family. We are born into the family of God, and we are adopted into the family of God. And with God, both of those things happen at the same time. When we think of being born into the family of God, it means that we enter into God by a birth. And so therefore, when we are born again by the Holy Spirit, we are brought into the family of God. To as many as received him, that's Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so we are born into the family of God. We also come into God by this avenue of adoption. And through adoption, therefore, God sees us, he knows what we are, and yet he still chooses us to go into his family. And that's a blessing to know that God knew we were sinners, and yet he allowed us to enter into the family of God, and not only into the family of God, but when we are there, we have the same rights and privileges as his own son. Isn't that good to know? Look if you would in Romans chapter number 8. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look back if you would in verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is what? None of his. Go back if you would in verse number 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have an inner witness that we are the children of God. His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that's been made alive at the new birth that we are the children of God. We also have an outer witness. You say, what's our outer witness? That we love the brethren. That we love God. We love his commandments. In other words, there's something that changes in us and it changes in our heart. Look if you would in verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, isn't it good to be able to be named in God's will? I read somewhere where a guy, he was hard of hearing and he couldn't hear nothing. And he went to the doctor and he got his hearing fixed. They gave him hearing aids. And he come back a little later and the doctor asked him, he said, "How's it doing?" He said, I hear perfectly. He said, "What's your family think about your hearing?" He said, "I haven't told them yet." He said, "Why not?" He said, "I've done changed the wheel 3 times and listened to what they had to say about me because they don't know I can hear what they're saying." And you know, it's amazing to understand that God has not only saved us and forgiven us, and that would be enough, but he's put us in his will.
Yes, sir.
Now, look just a few moments, if you would. Keep your finger there and go with me, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to go a lot of places today. Stay with me a minute.
Good.
2 Corinthians chapter 6. Since we didn't have special singing today, we'll have special preaching. We'll just preach a little extra. Look at verse number 16. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my" what?
People.
Look at verse 17. "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my" what? "Sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." So what we recognize is that it's important to know that we are loved and we belong to God.
Amen.
And so therefore, we don't have to worry about nothing. We don't have to say second place to anything. We are the children of God. We have a Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And he loves us and he saved us and he's got something waiting for us. He will protect us. He will provide for us. And as children, he has laid up an inheritance. The Bible says that we are lay up our children's inheritance. And so therefore, God has something laid up for us. We'll get to it in just a moment. Now, turning your Bibles a moment, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it tells us a little bit about our inheritance. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look, if you would, and remember that inheritance is based upon sonship. Are you going to inherit anything? Well, if you're a child of God, you will. And we'll all inherit the same thing because it's based upon our relationship with God, not our works. Amen? We'll look at our works tonight. We'll look at our rewards tonight. But today, we're looking at our inheritance. Look, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Begin reading, if you would, in verse number 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." Based on sonship. He has begotten us again in verse number 3. Look, if you would, in verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." In other words, he says, blessed be God that has born us into this privilege of inheritance. Look, if you would, on in verse 3. "According to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again to lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for" what?
"You."
Look in verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, last Sunday, I preached on what it takes to lose salvation. And we looked at that. And when we got through, we concluded that's an impossibility. Amen? And because we are being kept by the power of God. And look here. When you are saved as a child of God, your reservation has been made in heaven, and it's waiting for you, and nothing can take away your reservation. That's why in Luke chapter number 15, verse 7, in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth, he doesn't say wait till that sinner gets ready to die and see if he's kept it. He says the moment that he repents, there's rejoicing in heaven because there was another reservation made. Amen? And they're waiting for him to get there. Amen. Now look, if you would, back in verse number 4. Notice a couple things. "To an inheritance incorruptible." The Bible, that means it will never decay. It's waiting, and it's waiting for every child of God that's been born again into the family of God. Now, not only is it incorruptible, but it also, look back in your Bibles, in verse 4, it is undefiled. It means that it is holy. It means that it's without sin. Can you imagine being in a place where there's no sin? It's beyond our imagination. You say, oh, listen, even on your best day, you have your sinful nature with you. And by the way, that nature that you had before you got saved is the same nature that you got with you now. It hasn't changed. That's why when we look at our nature, we say, woe is me. When Job looked at himself, God said, Job is this type of man. Job looked at himself, woe is me. And he recognized. Isaiah recognized. And therefore what happens is, Paul said, I'm chiefest of all sinners. You know why? He had a flesh. He says, those things I would do, I do not. Those things I would not do, I find myself doing. You ever do that? Sure you do. You know why? We have stinking sin. Imagine being in a place, no sin. Look in your Bibles real quickly and follow with me a moment. Look if you would in 2 Peter. Keep your finger there in 1 Peter. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter real quick. Chapter number 3. The Bible tells us what's going to happen in this old world. Look if you would. You say, I don't know what the world's coming to. I do. Ashes. Amen. When God gets through with it, it's going to be burnt to a crisp. It's going to be gone. Look if you would in verse number 10. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all a holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. Turn on in your Bibles, if you would, Revelation chapter 20. Isn't it good to be able to be looking for a new heaven where there'll be no sin and there'll be righteousness? Now look if you would in chapter 20. In chapter 20, Paul is looking at the great white throne judgment. And he looks up and he sees in verse 11, he said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the what? Earth and heaven fled away, for there was found no place for them. The old earth and heaven is going to explode with a heat, with a bang, going to burn down, and they're going to flee from God, and there's going to be no old earth and no heaven. Look in chapter 21 and verse 1. The Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And notice, if you would, in verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of abomination or make of a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. In other words, no lie, no sin, everything's going to be holy in that new inheritance. Undefiled. You say, well, preacher, when I get there, I'll mess things up. Oh, no, you won't. You'll have a new body. Amen? Listen, if you're not going to have a new body, you'll be going a different direction. Amen? And like this woman said one time, her husband said, I want you to, he showed her a cookie jar, and it was full of money. And he said, and she didn't even know he had it. He said, I want you to put it up there. Upstairs. He said, he's fixing to die. He said, when I die, I'm going to grab it and take it with me. And so he died. She went up there to see it, and it was still there. She said, I know I should have put it in the basement. Amen. But listen to me. All jokes aside, listen to me. It will not be a funny thing if you're not ready to go. I see these bumper stickers, and I don't think they're fun. And they talk about a party in hell. And listen, I don't even think Christians should have anything making light of hell. It's going to be a horrendous thing throughout all eternity. And so when we see the inheritance of those who have been born again, our inheritance is going to be undefiled. Nothing defiles anything up there. Amen? Stay with me a minute. Look on, back in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1. I told you, say it, verse 4. And fadeth not away. You know, the Bible says that David said in Psalm 17, when I awake in his likeness, I shall be satisfied. Fadeth not away means it never diminishes. Here, you know, God sent manna from heaven. You know what Israel did? We get tired of this light bread. In heaven, you never get tired of nothing. Nothing fades away. Nothing diminishes. You say, boy, it'd be such a joy to see the Lamb of God. Listen, a million years from now, the same joy will be there because it doesn't fade away. You say, boy, it'd be nice to have them new bodies. The way we'll be rejoicing with those new bodies, we'll be rejoicing a million years from there because it never fades away. The joy, the praising, the singing, that's our inheritance. Never fadeth away. Look on in your Bible. And it is reserved for you in heaven. In other words, it is waiting for you because you are a joint heir. Now, knowing this, number one, you need to know who we are. Yes. We are the sons of God. Amen. You need to know what we are and why we are. We're there not because we're special, but because we have been born into the family of God and we have been adopted into the family of God, as we've talked about. And therefore, we are sons, and what we do as sons, now listen to me, please listen. If you're really a son of God and you got inheritance and you're waiting on the inheritance he's got waiting for you, everything you do for God, you ought to do it because you love him, because he so loved you. You ought to be constrained by love, and you shouldn't have to do it. Listen, a servant says, well, the master said I had to do it, so I got to do it. A son says, I do it because I love the Father. And therefore, I want to do it because he's been so good to me. And listen, you know the reason a son wants to work so hard? Because whatever the Father's is his. He gets to enjoy and participate in the celebration. And so therefore, listen, if this morning someone walks the aisle and is born again, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven, but we ought to rejoice in it too because we get a share in it. That's another one that's going to be up there with us, amen? Now, let me give you this, and I'm going to close. There's blessings that comes with being a son. Number one, look in Hebrews chapter number 4. Real quickly. Hebrews chapter number 4. I guess there'll be 4 or 5 of you lined up to sing tonight, won't you? Hebrews chapter number 4. Look, if you would, in verse 16. Let us therefore, talking about those of us who are saved, let us therefore come what? Boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain favor and find grace to help in time of need. You know what one of the blessings of being a child of God is? Anytime we need to, we can go straight to the Father. Now, if you're not saved, you don't have that privilege. One of these days, we will be in the presence of the Son and the Father, and we will rejoice in their presence in the light of the Son. We'll have no need of sun, no need of moon. We will rejoice in the light of the Son of God and the glory of God. But until that time, right now, every time we need, the blessing of being a son is to go into the presence of God. Amen? Now, the second thing is, turning your Bible to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4, real quickly.
First John chapter number 4. Look, if you would. The second blessings that we got is we have overcome the world. You know the most dangerous thing around? The world. The world you can look at that picture back there. I believe Brother Sisson gave us that picture probably 35 years ago from Friends of Israel. You see all that highway going down the pits of hell, going by groves? That's from Matthew chapter number 7. Many shall be on that wide, broad road that leadeth to destruction. And there'll be a few that go the straight, narrow way that leads to life eternal. But look here. Do you understand that to overcome the world, you're in the minority that has heard the gospel and believed and are willing to surrender your will to the will of God and receive his son Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And when you've done that, the blessing of that is you have overcome the world. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 4, real quickly. Look in verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have what? Overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God, what? Overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 2. Turn on over there. The seven churches of Asia. Look what the Bible says here. In chapter 2, notice if you would, I'm not going to read it all, but look if you would in verse number 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. This is the church of Ephesus. To him that what? Overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. One of these days you say, I wonder what the tree of life is going to taste like. You'll get to eat of it. That's part of your inheritance. To eat of the tree of life. Amen? Yes, look on. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. To the church of Smyrna. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that what? Shall not be hurt with the what? Second death. Death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. And this is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. In other words, the second death is hell, separation from God, eternally dying, have eternal death instead of eternal life. Part of our inheritance, if we're part of the family of God, we go there where we have everlasting life, and everyone who doesn't have Jesus goes to die eternally, yet the worm dieth not. Amen? What an inheritance. Look on, if you would. In verse number 17, again, this is church of Pergamos. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and a stone of a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. What's your name going to be? I don't know, but God's going to give us a new name. Amen? But look here. Only to those that overcomes. Look on, if you would, in verse number 26. Again, we find this to the church of Thyatira. He, in verse 26, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Now tonight we're going to look. Tonight, rewards is not only crowns that we cast at the Savior's feet, but it's also having position to rule cities during his reign. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen? Yes. Stay with me in a minute. Look, if you would, in chapter 3. Again, to the church of Sardis. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You say, how do we keep our name from being blotted out of the book of life? Being born again. It can't be blotted out when you're born again. Amen? Secured. Look on, if you would, in verse number 12. Again, this is Church of Philadelphia.
Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall no more go out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. You say, what does that mean? That means you're part of your inheritance. You get to enjoy streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, river of life, tree of life, all those things. You know why? That's part of your inheritance. And look here, if you're a child of God, everybody shares equally in the inheritance, because we are not only heirs of God, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, look on. Stay with me one more time. Look on, if you would, even church of Laodicea. Know what it says in Revelation chapter number 3, in verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. We get to sit with him. We get to indwell in the Holy Spirit. Let me show you one more. One more, and I'll close. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 12. When I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child, and I sure acted like a child. When I grew up, I put away childish things. Now listen to me a minute. When I was a child, my mom and dad's both dead now. Just lost my mom during this virus, not because of the virus. Don't want her name added to the list. But during the time, I remember many fond things about my mom and dad. I remember things that they had faults, just like we all have faults. And I remember one thing that I love them for now, but man, I used to not like them. We used to get whippings, not timeouts. I can't imagine my dad ever saying, take a timeout. Only time I'd get a timeout if he knocked me out, yes, I don't know. But a few times I deserved that. But look here. You just get whippings that hurt. Whippings that meant you didn't want to go back for it. Somebody said, why are they destroying our cities? And why do they continue to do it? Because every time they take them in jail, they let them right back out to do the same thing again. If they get them there and lock them up for 10, 15 years, the other people wouldn't want to go in there for 10, 15 years. And let me tell you this, if they went out here and hammered a few rocks on the side of the road, they probably wouldn't want to go in there to begin with. Instead of giving them all the commodities and everything that they want, therefore. But my point is this. None of those whippings was pleasant. And they hurt. Now, Chris, she probably gave our kids much more whippings than I did. She's mean. I take that back. But when I gave them one, and I never did give them nothing but my hand. But when I told them to do something, I didn't have to threaten them. They knew when Dad was going to whip them, I was going to whip them. And you know, one of the blessings of being a child. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter number 12, real quickly. Yes, sir. I'm going to close here. Look in verse 5. Ye've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all, see that word all?
then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers in our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? Now listen, a bunch of these heathens running around burning and tearing everything up has no respect for nothing. Nobody. You know why? They've not been taught to have reverence. If my dad was alive right now, he would be 85 years old. And if I acted like those hoodlums, he would still take his belt off and try to whip me today. Amen? Look here. For they verily, for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our, what? Profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You know what I thank God more than anything else? I had a mom and dad that loved me enough to correct me. I've had parents say, well, little Johnny, I never whip him, I never correct him. I said, then you don't love him enough. And look here, it's not pleasant sometimes. And God takes all of us to the woodshed sometimes. He gives us a spanking. And it hurts. But when I look back, I'm thankful that my father gave me that, because he taught me to respect certain things. He taught me to have reverence for some things. And he taught me to behave certain ways. I remember he'd be up there when he surrendered to preach. He'd be up there preaching. And man, if he ever looked, and if he had to stop. And I learned a valuable lesson. If he had to speak, I didn't wait till I got home to get it. And you know, there wasn't many of those you wanted, amen? But look here. My point is this, stay with me. One of the blessings of being a child of God. People say, oh, you bunch of Baptists, you believe you can be saved and do anything you want to do.
No.
Not with a father like we got.
No. Good, Billy.
He has a way to keep us in line.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's a blessing of being a child of God. And so therefore, what happens is this. You know what it does? It helps us to earn rewards and get back on the right track. Because when we get to heaven, we'll want rewards, as we'll see tonight. But this morning, I want you to know this. The blessing of being a child of God is being an heir of what's waiting that eye has not seen, ear could not hear, or not even enter our hearts. And every child of God, equally. You know, the Jewish child, the oldest one, got a double portion. The Son of God says, I'm going to share my portion with everybody equally. Chris and I, we have a joint bank account. That means she's got 100% of it, and so do I. She's got as much privilege of writing on that account as I do. And we share in heaven everything there is our inheritance because of the Son of God. We're there and we receive the privilege because of the Son of God. Let me ask you this. Are you saved? Only way you go to heaven. And the devil has deceived people in thinking, live a good life, and God will take you in if you live a little better than somebody else. There is none good, no, not one. You must be saved. Do you have a reservation waiting for you, and are you on the will of God, His will, saying, your name's written, and you shall receive an inheritance of God when you get to heaven? If not, you need to come. If the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you this morning, as we stand, give a song of invitation. Would you come? How about it?